Blog Talk Radio.
I'd like to thank everyone for tuning in again for another episode of Religion Means a Lie presents the Radiant Brilliant Show with your host, Kimberly Kalima, the show where culture meets conversation. The Radiant Brilliant Show was created to highlight the many talented and brilliant individuals of our community in art, music, poetry, and spoken word. This evening, we'll have visiting with us entrepreneur or mompreneur Zalika Martin. She's also the CEO of Makita Artistry. As a makeup artist, jewelry artist, and modest fashion model, she chose to launch a platform to not only showcase her talent, but to help inspire and encourage women to push themselves to achieve greatness and embrace the queen that they are. Shortly, she'll be joining us to speak on her jewelry line, and she specializes in beads. I looked it up, and there are all kinds of beads that are used for many purposes. They're glass beads, stone, ceramic, metal, wood. They're used in a variety of cultures as well. Hindus, Buddhists, Catholics, Muslims, they use prayer beads. In a greater part of Europe long ago, they were also used for trade and adornment. And in African culture, they trace some of the beads as far back as 10,000 BC, and they're also used to gauge how advanced a specific civilization was. So they have a lot of type of significance use, and some are also used for love beads. So at this moment, I would like to introduce to our call Zalika Martin, entrepreneur and CEO of Makita Artistry. Assalamu alaikum, Zalika. How are you this evening?
Wa alaikum assalam. I'm doing good. And yourself?
I'm doing good, alhamdulillah. I'd like to thank you, first of all, for giving us a little bit of your time to speak on your company, your launch, let everyone know about that and where they can view it and see the items and some of the other projects that you have going for you. But my first question is, why jewelry? Why are you specializing in jewelry and have launched a jewelry line?
It's a really great question. You know, first of all, as a woman, I like jewelry, and many other women love jewelry. And I've always been artsy. You know, I just didn't really market what I did. I just kept it for myself. But I think I like to have pieces of, you know, a replication of me. It's memorable. You know, if I do a piece for somebody, it's not just I'm just doing a bracelet for somebody. You know, I stamp all my boxes handmade with love because I really put love into the work that I do. And I want to make sure that it's memorable for you. You know, so something that you're wearing, you can remember, you know, Zalika designed this for me. You know, Zalika put love into it. Zalika put effort into it. You know, and I want the person, whomever's embodying it, to wear it well. So, you know, jewelry is something that anyone can wear, you know. Doesn't matter, you know, race, religion, shape, size, color. Anyone can wear jewelry. It's fun, you know, and it's memorable. So basically for the memories. When you get a nice piece of jewelry, say your grandmother passed down something, an heirloom, you know, you remember it. You know, my pieces, you know, you can have it. I try to make sure everything that I produce is of quality. I've had customers, they can attest to, you know, the work that I've created, quality-based, and it's something that you can hold on to.
And you're most notably recognized for fashion. We're going to get into that also in just a little bit. But in fashion, they have trends that come and go, and you decided to make a more meaningful contribution. What brought you to the idea that I'm going to make some jewelry, I'm going to make beads, instead of, like, you know, earrings or necklaces? What brought you to the bead element of it?
The beads, I've always loved beads as a child. I used to have a bead box. You know, my parents would take me to the craft section of Toys R Us or KB Toys back in the day. And I would go to the bead section, and I would have the plastic beads, you know, designed for the preteens, and I'd make my little bracelets, my names on it. I always had a thing for beads. And beads are healing for me. They're really calming and relaxing. And I sit at my workstation, and when I'm creating my pieces, I feel so much at ease. It's unreal sometimes how much ease that I feel just from, you know, creatively putting beads together and thinking of a nice pattern and what may look nice will complement each other. You know, so beads are currently specializing. I do want to venture out, and I do have plans to venture out into chains and to working with leather and working with other forms of jewelry, earrings, and old wire, all of that. But right now, I'm enjoying working with beads. So, you know, I'm just going to keep producing the beads. I just got a shipment of this awesome box of beads that I can't wait to play, and I'm like a big kid right now.
So wow.
It's really relaxing for me.
Well, I think it made it a little bit easier by sticking with what you know. There's another person that I spoke with recently, and they really pushed. It was Malika Shabazz, director and filmmaker, who suggested that when people are starting out in business, you know, don't do a whole bunch of things you don't know. Stick with what you know. Stick with what feels good. And
right.
You'll believe in that project. You'll be able to push it with a lot more sincerity. Now, the bracelets that you do construct, are they for men and women, or is it just for women?
It's for men and women. It's for men, women, children. Whatever you want, I create for you. You know, I do a lot of custom pieces, and what I appreciate with doing the custom pieces is the trust that goes into that. Like, that really is a really great feeling when someone can tell me, I want a bracelet with pink, purple, and silver. And, you know, they'll tell me, just use your imagination. I know it's going to be great. Mm. And then when they get the item, they're like, oh, my gosh, I really love it. You know, it's such a fulfilling and satisfactory feeling. So I'm really grateful for those who allow me to express my creativity on their orders. You know, I love doing the custom pieces. I do pre-made as well, but
okay.
I really like doing the custom orders. It's definitely fulfilling because it's just trust. You know, you know that person is going to create something that you're going to love. You give them a few specifics of what you like, a couple of colors, and you just let them do their thing.
You know,
so as an artist, you know, that's what I would like to do. I don't want to be restricted. I don't want to be boxed in, you know?
Mm-hmm. Totally understood. Now, I heard you say when you have your workstation and you love sitting there, for anyone who is listening who is actually interested in going into this same industry of jewelry creation, what tools are needed? Can you get the pieces you need from just anywhere, like a Michael's Craft Store, or do you have to order them from specific places? And how expensive is this?
Well, the initial tools, like pretty much to make sure like my measurements are correct, because when you do the bracelets, example, necklaces as well, but more so bracelets, especially the ones that I have to attach the clasps onto. You want to make sure that it's standard size measurements for women, standard size for men. I generally have a bead board that has the measurements on it so I know that I'm lining up. Most of my jewelry, my bracelets that is, I generally do a pattern in the front, so it's kind of telltale that it's one of my pieces because I generally put like some sort of pattern in the front of the bracelet. You can tell the difference between the front and the back. And in order to make sure everything is lined up evenly, you know, I use my bead board, which helps me keep my measurements accurate, make sure that I'm measuring everything correctly. So that becomes important. Also, pliers. You want to have, like, needle nose pliers.
Mm-hmm.
You want to have crimping pliers. You want to have flat top pliers. Generally, like Michael's and other crafting stores will sell maybe like a 5-pack. I paid about $30 for mine. It's a 5-pack with the different assortments. You pretty much use that, you know, when you want to open and close your jump rings or if you want to attach your clasps onto the bracelet or the necklace, you know, you pretty much would need those pliers. In the beginning, I thought, oh, I'm not going to buy those tools until I realized, you know, yeah, I'm going to need these tools. Because those jump rings, you know, the jump rings are like really small rings that you use to attach like charms and other items to your jewelry. In order to get those open, just using your fingers is not going to work because a lot of times they're really small. So you need those pliers to kind of grip one end and grip the other and pull it apart and then use that same motion to push it back together when you want to close it up. You know, make sure that it's tight. You know, you'd hate to produce something and have your charm fall off, you know. You just want to make sure everything is tight, everything is secure. I always test my products before I send anything out. If it's a stretchy bracelet, I will stretch it out several times to make sure that it's sturdy. If it's a bracelet with a clasp, I'll make sure that the clasp is attached. You know, I pride myself. I've worked in the customer service industry for several years. You know, I still interact daily on a day-to-day basis with customers. So I always want to ensure that, you know, I'm promoting and putting out the best quality product. I had a nightmare one day. My mother laughed at me because I had a nightmare one time that my bracelet broke and beads was everywhere. She just started laughing, and I'm like, Mom, you don't care. This is a nightmare for me. You know, but, like, I really, you know, I really make sure, I want to make sure that whatever it is that I make or that I produce, you know, people are satisfied with it. Sometimes I get feedback on social media or, you know, I'll get a text and they're like, you know, I got my package. I love how you packaged it. Presentation is everything to me, you know, so I'll make an effort to make sure that I stamp my products, make sure I wrap my products. I'll even go the extra mile to put the bubble wrap around it. You just never know what happens in transmission with the mail. So, you know, I just want to make sure that when they get it, you know, it's in a nice gift box. And, you know, usually I get the feedback and they're like, hey, your products are really great and I love it. And it just, it makes me want to do even better. You know, it makes me want to just go that extra mile because if they're satisfied, I'm satisfied.
That is such an excellent explanation. And I want to say for anybody listening, I hope you were taking notes because that was definitely, for me, bead stringing one-on-one. You began using terms, I don't know what they mean, different pliers and jump rings. I know those are terms specific to the items that you create. So it's good to know that if somebody wants to start out, there are some local retailers where they might be able to pick up some of the items and stringing them along and making them themselves. Now, one vision that you have, would it be to link up with a larger company? Like if there was a fashion designer that wanted to market something with your jewelry included?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, my goal would be on a larger scale. You know, I would kind of like to equate myself to like Pandora in the future. You know, Pandora started off as an individual chain and now it's just, you know, national. Everybody knows about Pandora. It's customizable, you know, but you have to start off somewhere. So, you know, right now I'm taking the baby steps, building blocks, but I do see a higher scale for myself. I do see a big future for myself and I believe in my brand. And I think that's most important to, you know, push yourself to where you want to be. You have to believe in your brand. You have to believe in what it is that you're promoting. So, and as a model, you know, myself, I do the modest Muslim fashion modeling. You know, how awesome would that be for me to be rocking a designer and I'm wearing my own jewelry, you know?
Exactly.
You know, because I was still, you know, there was also a point where I was feeling like, you know, even though I love modeling, I was feeling like I want to, you know, someone to wear something of mine, you know. And I felt like the clothing really wasn't for me. I didn't really know how to go about designing my own clothing label and stuff like that. So I dug a little deeper and, you know, I channeled what it was that I was good at or what I was doing before. I just was feeling a little hesitant as to, you know, putting it out there. But I felt like Allah kind of put this in my lap, right? So I just went with it. You know, so I feel like, you know, what's the worst that can happen? You know?
Well, that is why I invited you, and I appreciate you accepting the invitation to come on the Radiant Brilliance Show to speak so that people will know that you are more than just another pretty face. You're smart. You're a businesswoman. And this really sounds like a well-thought-out plan because there are self-help videos that I watch for entrepreneurs and starting a business, business management, and one of the things that they focus on the most is how important it is to not only create a brand that's lasting and recognizable and friendly, but that you believe in your brand. You know the exact purpose and the feeling that you want people to have, the service that your product will provide, the demographics that you want to provide the product to and things of that nature. And like you said, thinking big, where do I want to go? Then you start going backwards from where you want to be and get those tips to how you can get there.
Right, absolutely.
So I like the way this is really a well-thought-out process. And people need to hear this because I see jewelry in the store all the time. I'm not into making jewelry, so I don't think anything of how painstaking and specific that it has to be.
Oh, yes. You know, there's been nights when I've been up 2 o'clock, 3 mm-hmm. o'clock in the morning, you know, just trying to make sure that I get it right. I'm a slight perfectionist, so I don't want to say slight, you know. I guess I accept perfectionist tendencies because there are times where I'm just, you know, no, this is not right, this is not right. Take it all apart, do it again.
Uh-huh.
You know, but at the end of the day, it's worth it because if whomever I'm marketing to or whoever's purchasing from me, if they're happy and they're satisfied, then that makes me happy and I'm satisfied. So being up at 3 o'clock in the morning, you know, it's worth it to me. I don't feel any kind of way like, oh, I missed out on sleep. No, this is something I chose to do and I wanted to do it, you know. And when I decide to do something, I like to put my all into it. I don't want to do a half job.
Wow. So when people, when you guys out there listening, when you get that bracelet, I want you to know she worked hard on this. She worked hard on this, and she wants you to be happy. She cares about her consumer, which is also another very important tool in marketing, you know, customer retention and the interaction.
Right.
Like when you said, you appreciate them trusting you to use your creative abilities and ideas to come up with specific designs, you know, letting them know that how you feel about what I'm creating for you matters to me as well. That creates a great relationship.
Absolutely. And I'm all about building a customer base. A customer, you know, relationship. It's more than just posting. I have this available, you know, here it is. I like to have a conversation with you because half the times what happens is when we have a conversation, we dig deeper and I find out, you know, oh, you'd like that piece customized? Let's make it your own. Because anybody can have, you know, a generic piece. But if you're asking me, you know, hey, can you customize this for me? Absolutely, I sure can. But we won't be able to do that if we don't build that relationship. You know, so I like to build a customer base. I like to build a relationship with the consumer just so that they know, maybe it's not at this immediate purchase, but in the future, or if they want to refer someone. I went to an event this past week in a sister social, and one of the ladies there, she's like, you know, yeah, I saw your jewelry, and I want to order something for my daughter. You know, so we started talking. I'm like, well, what is she like? Well, she's 16. She likes iPhones. She likes this. She likes that. So it turned into pretty much she wanted a charm bracelet, she wanted purple, she wanted different charms on it. And because we had that conversation, I was able to get that out of her as opposed to just giving her some generic piece.
So you really have to be in tune to what people need. It's not where you're just haphazardly saying, okay, these colors match. You're actually considering what the wearer was looking for, their appreciation, and how they'll incorporate the jewelry into their lifestyle. Because for some people, jewelry is a big thing. Some people use it as a signature piece. This stands for who I want to be or who I am. If I've arrived, this represents whatever cause. This represents
exactly.
My heritage.
Yes.
Okay?
I've had a lot of people tell me, you know, I want to order from you, but I just need to think of what I want because I want it to mean something.
Look at there. Okay.
You know? Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But I respect that. That's important. You know, if you're going to wear jewelry and if you want it to mean something, that is absolutely okay. Some people wear it because it matches, and other people,
mm-hmm.
like, it's symbolic for them.
Okay, so it's not just commerce for you. It's also compassion and a way of giving back.
Correct. Right.
Okay.
Exactly.
All righty. Well, if you're just tuning in, you are listening to Religion Means Alive presents The Radiant Brilliant Show with your host, Kimberly Kalima, the show where culture meets conversation. Our call-in number is 805-727-7013. And if you're listening by phone, you can enhance your experience by listening online at Blog Talk Radio under Religion Means Live. There's a chat option when we have live callers to have questions for myself or the guests. Tonight we have Zalika Martin, who's an entrepreneur, and she's here speaking with us regarding her new jewelry line. And if you could tell us the name of your jewelry line and how you came up with that name, Zalika.
My jewelry line is called the Makita Collection. And it stems from my middle name, which is Makita. I was named after Queen of Sheba. And I feel like it's more than just a piece of jewelry when you wear anything from my collection. I was always instilled as a youth, especially from my father. He always reminded me that I'm a queen and I should carry myself as such. So I want to make sure that anyone who is wearing something from my collection feels empowered. They feel inspired. And tying it all together, you know, my Makita collection, it just comes from my name and royalty. I feel like we are all kings and queens. We should all carry ourselves as such. We should act as such. And, you know, I feel like it just came overnight. I said, what am I going to call his name for this jewelry? Makita collection. And it stuck. Usually I go back and forth and I'm not sure, I'm indecisive, but it stuck and I went with it. And I'm glad that I did.
Okay, I think a lot of people are too. I will say myself, the Makita Collection was a very catching name for me. It made me pay attention because, as I mentioned before we started the interview, the song Makita by Le Nubian, which is speaking to the strength of African American women and to our beauty. And as you mentioned, the Queen of Sheba, and I believe, if I'm not mistaken, that she was Ethiopian, and I've also read where she eventually converted to Islam. She was very astute. She impressed a lot of people. So the Queen of Sheba, when people mention her, they always speak of her as a very powerful woman who was in charge of her decisions. And not powerful as far as commandeering, but she was very in control of her faculties and was very purposeful. So that's what all of that means to me when I see that name, the Makeda Collection. It's like, wow, you know, she's pulling together all the strengths of African-American women in this. So I personally thank you for that so very, very much. Now, you're welcome. Another thing I wanted to go into as well is the jewelry and all its uses and purposes and how is it is an extension of what you already do. A lot of us know you as a Muslim model. Can you elaborate for us what got you interested in modeling and what you hope that your modeling does to benefit our community or other young girls?
Sure. So the way that this modeling kind of launched, it started off as a favor. I grew up with the designer of Al-Mujallaba, Sister Janae. I grew up with her. You know, she used to make my Islamic school uniforms when I was 5 and 6 years old. And when she decided to get her store and launch her line, she had reached out to me to ask me to model some of her apparel that she had. And it started off small. We was in her store in the fitting room, myself and Najma. You know, she was the resident photographer. And
that's Najma 53?
Yes.
Okay.
Najma 53, yep. And we started off in the fitting room trying to take pictures of the outfits and trying to figure out how we're going to market this, you know, to different types of different groups. Some people have different styles depending on the age. And so it pretty much took off from there. So Sister Janae would launch about 2 collections per year, a spring and a fall. And so the first time we did it, and then each time we just learned from how we can improve. And then I believe one time it was a Baltimore conference. They usually have a sisters conference every year in Baltimore. And some of the sisters was asking about her line. And then it turned into we can actually market to the younger crowd. Because at one point, Sister Janae's clothes was more so for the mature woman as opposed to, you know, let's say the young adult. But then, you know, Najma was a very good creative director and wardrobe stylist behind a lot of the things that we modeled together, and she'd have certain visions, and together she and I would execute them. You know, we'd take pictures in a park, or we'd take pictures of, you know, there's one shot that I love so much. It's me jumping off of some sort of platform with the text under the picture, Muslim women are fly. You know, when we do catchy things like that, it would catch the attention of all of the crowd of, you know, older sisters, younger sisters, and in between. So we was able to market, you know, we would show how you can dress up the pieces with accessories, with a belt, with sunglasses, with a purse. And it just got better and better each year. You know, so it just turned into something that I looked forward to doing. I had a lot of fun doing it. She has relocated now out of state. So, you know, at this point right now, we aren't working on anything right now. But if the opportunity was to arise in the future, I'd definitely jump on it. It's and it's important to me. It's more so, it's even deeper than just wearing nice clothes and posing in front of a camera. For me, growing up, I went to public school for junior high school up into high school. And I used to get a lot of comments that would make me just scratch my head, like, are you really asking me this? They say, oh, I didn't know Muslims can wear name brands. I didn't know Muslims can do this and Muslims can do that. Do you have hair under there? So it was a huge misconception that I have to battle daily, explaining to my classmates, yes, I have hair. Yes, we can wear name brand shoes. No, we don't wear the same wrinkled hijab day in and day out. Yes, we can match it with our clothes. So for me, you know, it was more so like a statement. A lot of people who is on my Facebook, they've been on my page since elementary school up until now, you know, so they can also see the transition, referring to people who's non-Muslim, and good dawah also, you know. So I feel like we need more sisters out there who's showing, whether you're showing Muslims or non-Muslims, that you can still maintain your modesty and be fashionable. And that was what I was trying to portray, whether I'm, you know, doing a photo shoot or just dressing how I dress, you know, to walk down the street, to do regular stuff. I just want the public to know that in order to be fashionable, in order to, you know, look nice, you don't have to disrobe. You don't have to take your clothes off, wear skin-tight clothing. You can still carry yourself and be fashionable and be presentable and be nice-looking and still follow the guidelines of the way Islam dictates for a woman to maintain her modesty. And, you know, just doing the modeling was a really great opportunity. Sometimes I do the fashion shows when they would have different events. You know, I do the fashion shows and model the garments up and down the runway and stuff. So it just really showcases. And when someone who's not Muslim sees this, they see Islam beautifully. They're like, wow, you know, I love these garments. I love how she wraps her hair. I love how it matches her dress. And it just gives good dawah. It gives showing Islam in a positive light. And that's really the main reason why I really enjoy doing it.
I also wanted to mention, too, that modesty actually extends the bounds of Islam. There are Christian women who like to dress modestly as well. There are Jewish women who like to dress modestly as well. And so I think you have a message not just for Muslimas. You know, not everybody wants to put on the skin-tight type of low neckline revealing for women who are even non-Muslim. There's a conservative look. It's also very classy, but it's fashionable, so it's current and it's modern, all smashed up into one thing. So I think it could be a very good influence for Muslims and non-Muslims alike who want to step forward, who want to represent their faith and still be respected, you know, at the end of the day. You mentioned dawah as well. I think it's an excellent opportunity for dawah. I wanted to ask you, too, with the popularity of Muslim models and the way that we dress fairly, H&M and Dolce & Gabbana, how do you feel about them using Muslims in their ad campaigns?
I liked when H&M did it because H&M is a local store where, you know, your average person like myself can access the store and you know, buy the things in the store.
Mm-hmm.
I was a little on the fence when Dolce & Gabbana did it because I felt, at that point, I kind of felt like they may be trying to exploit Muslims and exploit the Muslim fashion and the Muslim modesty world as another means of trying to get our dollar. So I was kind of okay with H&M, but at the end of the day, I feel like, you know, we have to check, or they have to check their intention. Why do you have a Muslima on your cover, on your billboard? Is it because you want to show, you know, uniformity between all women, whether one is in a headscarf and the other one is not? Or are you just trying to buy out our dollars? You know, so this is where I'm a little on the fence with it. I would like to see an African-American Muslim model. That would be really awesome, you know, myself being an African-American woman and being Muslim, to see someone who looks like me, you know, on the mainstream, to see her face plastered on the billboard, you know, that would be really nice to see.
I totally agree. So anybody out there, if you're not able to reach Yaz the Spaz, if she didn't return your call, please call Ms. Zalika Martin. She's available, or you can just decide to call Zalika Martin first. We won't be mad at you. Another point that you made also is that not only do non-Muslims need to see women who are the most obvious representation of Islam, especially the sisters who cover, but I think Muslim women need to see you as well. Like you said, seeing someone who looks like you, who represents you, it really does a lot for the self-esteem. It does a lot. And there are certain women or certain places where women may be dressed in a certain way because of culture. They may have certain restrictions that have been applied on them. And I like that you're able to show that you can be modest and you can be fashionable and you can be presentable and still express who you are and how you feel, still honoring
exactly.
Your faith. I think that's very necessary. Also, it helps for any Muslima who has a dream. Maybe she wants to model. Maybe she wants to photograph.
Right.
Maybe she's interested in the industry. Well, looky here. That's that sister, Zalika Martin. She's doing it. So can I.
And, you know, I've had some sisters reach out to me, you know, if some pictures are published of me, and then they'll reach out to me and they'll say, you know, well, let me know when you're doing your next shoot. You know, I'd love to do a shoot with you. And that really flatters me it really humbles me because it's like, I'm just a regular person, you know. But, you know, the fact that you know, what I'm doing makes you feel like you want to do it too. I'm so for, you know, empowering other women, and make, you know, I want us to be uniform. I want us to stick together, you know, sisterhood, all of that. So when a sister will reach out to me and say, you know, well, let me know when you're doing a shoot. It's like, absolutely, yes, let's do it. Let's show the world who we are. Mm-hmm. Let's be powerful, you know. And also I like the fact, too, you know, when I'm doing the modeling also, it also helps for sisters who are new in the dean and they're not sure how they should be dressing. Sometimes what happens is you jump into the dean and then you go straight for extremes, you know, and then you don't balance yourself out. So now you're feeling a little resentment and I didn't know I had to give all this up kind of thing. You know, so it's just, it's inspiring. I've had sisters inbox me or ask me, you know, where can I get a dress or what do you think I should wear for here or for there? I just want them to understand, you know, you don't have to feel like you have to give your whole identity away. You can still be yourself. If you like big sunglasses, then by all means, wear your big sunglasses. You know, if you like denim skirts or whatever it is that you like, as long as it's within the realm, you know, of Islam, then please feel free to express yourself. There's so many ways that Muslims, you have all these cultures and where Muslim women express themselves and how they dress and stuff, you know, whether it's head wraps, whether it's turbans, whether it's however it is, however it goes for you, whatever works for you. But, you know, I don't want sisters to feel like they have to lose their identity. So just being an inspiration, just knowing that a sister may have been able to, that may have been able to help a sister. You know, she may have been struggling. She may have stumbled upon one of my pictures. I was in a Chinese food restaurant local to my house one day. And I recognized you from Instagram. And I was just like, oh, wow. You know, she's like, yeah, you know, I love your pictures. And, you know, so it just, it really feels nice to know that sisters are actually looking up to what it is I'm doing. I'm trying to make a positive breakthrough. I have a daughter, you know, she's 7, and I want her to embrace and love hijab the way I do, you know. So where else to get the example from would be from me.
And I can speak from being a convert. The point about being an example, I will say when I was interested in Islam, I didn't know how to dress. All I remember was seeing different, I'd seen different sects of people and overseas and here. And the first place I went was online because I don't see, where I live in North Carolina, I didn't see Muslims walking around every single day and at the grocery store. And sometimes tensions are kind of hard, so people who may be perceived as different are not always on the forefront. So I had to go and search and look for examples. And the first place I went was online. And it is good to know that, inshallah, the next crop of people may be able to log in online and find you. Because that's exactly, I was learning how to rap, learning how what to wear, learning to halalify my short tops and skirts with long pants and everything. And I needed that example. And one thing I like what you said is about not losing your identity. I also wanted an example that still represented pieces of me. I didn't necessarily want to look like I came from another country. I didn't necessarily want to dress like something that I couldn't identify with. I needed a little bit of familiarity and comfortability. For certain communities, what you offer is exactly that. It is exactly that. So, alhamdulillah for that.
Alhamdulillah.
And listeners, if you're still here with us, thank you so much. If you like what you're hearing and would like to continue listening to shows like this one, please generously donate to our program through PayPal using Religion Means Alive. This will enable continued broadcasting and helps us reach our goal centered on taking our mission from the airwaves to the streets. And tonight on the Radiant Brilliant Show with your host, Kimberly Kalima, we've got entrepreneur, fashion model, jewelry designer, Zalika Martin. I wanted to revisit, as a close to our interview tonight, when you mentioned that the name Makita from your jewelry line, the Makita Collection, was actually your middle name and what your father told you. Could you repeat that? And then maybe we can go to how important it is to feed positive words and positive self-image to our young girls.
So, yes, I did definitely decide to name my brand Makita Artistry, and the branch of Makita Artistry is the Makita Collection, which is my jewelry line, and it stems from, you know, I keep hearing my father's words in my head, you know, your name is a powerful name. You know, you are a queen. And so this is, I feel like this is like my foundation that keeps me headstrong and makes me feel like I want to motivate and empower other women with that same drive and that same force that was given to me.
And how important is that for our younger generation of girls? Because you and myself, we're older, and we're pretty definitive about where we're going. We've learned from where we've been. But every day there's a new child born. Every day there's a young tween or teenager that's got a challenge facing them.
It's extremely important. This society will tear our young girls up if we don't get a hold on them. And it's scary when you think about it because, you know, it's so easy to get to be vulnerable and to be caught out there and to fall into the flaws of the society, you know. So it's just like we have to make sure we are instilling these values, self-respect, self-love, self-determination, love of self. We have to make sure that we are instilling these values in these young girls from a young age to ensure that they blossom into the woman that we need them to be. Because in this day and age, us as women, we have to be strong. We have to be strong. You know, I've been through a lot of stuff in my past relationships and things of that nature. And, you know, it's been an experience. It was unpleasant at the time, but it's been an experience that has actually helped me progress to where I am now, you know. And I just feel like, you know, sometimes I just want to just stand up on a soapbox and just give the world my experiences or, you know, my take and how happy that I feel that I feel empowered. You know, not saying that everything is easy. You know, I'm a single mom and, you know, I work really hard to make sure my daughter's well taken care of. But I'm happy, though, and I'm at peace with myself. There's a lot of people battling, still trying to find themselves. It takes time to figure out who you are, to figure out what you want out of life, figure out what your purpose is. You know, us as Muslims, we're taught what our purpose is, to serve and worship Allah. But not everybody feels that instantaneously. You know, sometimes it takes experiences for you to actually realize what your purpose is. So I think it's extremely important for us as women to band together and not only empower each other, but make sure that we're empowering these young girls. You know, I speak to my daughter's friends sometimes if they're arguing. You know how little girls argue. She took my toy and, you know, explain to them the benefit. You know, this is your sister. You know, you got to cut this out. This is your sister. You and your wife have to stick together. You got to be nice. You have to love one another. It's so easy for us to get lost. The society, it looks so inviting sometimes, but half of the time, it's just inviting us down the wrong path. And without that foundation of self-love and knowing who you are and knowing what you're about, you just, you know, kind of like bound to fall for it.
Drift along in the wind. Well, if you're just tuning in, you're listening to Religion Means Alive presents the Radiant Brilliant Show with your host, Kimberly Kalima, the show where culture meets conversation. And our guest this evening is Zalika Martin. She's entrepreneur and CEO of the Makita Collection jewelry line. I wanted to also mention when you said strong women, I wanted to just interject because there are some people who have a problem with the word strong women. And I just want to be definitive. She means strong women, not as in overpowering or controlling, but women who are strong despite their circumstances.
Correct.
Women who are resilient. They survive. They bounce back. So I wanted to make sure that that was communicated so they wouldn't say, oh, they're on that, having a feminist talk show. But another strength that I'd like to bring up, because you did mention that you are a mother and you also work, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Now, there takes a certain amount of strength to balance going to work for somebody else all week and coming home and dedicating yourself to your company and your brand that you believe in. How do you make the time for that? How do you portion parts of your day to focus on your consumers and your products and your stock and inventory and marketing?
Well, in my job, I sit behind a desk for the most part. So when I have downtime, I have my notebook. I have a notebook that I keep my orders in and stuff that I need to purchase. And so my brain is always running. It's like, okay, so I have to run up to this place and fill this order and get this. So I'll just jot down notes in between my day. Or if I'm on the bus or if I'm commuting back and forth to work, you know, I'll use my iPhone, the notes app that's in my iPhone, and just jot down stuff. And then the minute I get home, I go right to my workspace and I just get to work. You know, I mean, I get to bed late and have to wake up early, but, you know, I feel like it's worth it. And I decided that if I'm going to do this, I'm going to invest in it fully, you know, and I'm going to just go full force. I'm going to try my best. So, you know, it's not easy at all because I feel like I'm always doing something. If I wasn't, you know, doing something with the photo shoot and I was doing makeup or I was doing some sort of non-for-profit activities, you know, so, I mean, I'm always busy regardless.
Mm-hmm.
So this is not anything new. It's just, you know, I'm always trying to optimize my time. So if it's a weekend, I will figure out, okay, I can do this from 9 to 12. And then I can do this and that from 1 to 2. You're just trying to block off my time and just use my time in its entirety. And then I go to sleep a couple of hours and I just wake up to do it all over again. I mean, it's exhausting.
Okay. So you gotta have drive and determination and organization. Definitely, it sounds like.
Yes, yes. And you know, this is new. You know, I've never did this before in its entirety. I've started and then something will happen and I kind of like not continue. So right now I just have this motivation, this drive to just keep going at it. So I'm trying to just, despite the fact that sometimes I'm exhausted or sometimes I just want to lay in the bed and just relax, but nothing gets accomplished that way, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, actually tomorrow is my birthday and it's funny. Someone asked me, what are you doing for your birthday? I said, I just want to create.
Okay, so July 12th, Tuesday, that's going to be an anniversary of life for you.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, happy anniversary of life.
Thank you. It just came so fast, to be quite honest with you. Like, I've just been so busy, you know, just trying to, you know, Ramadan just ended, so I was focusing on that and then just focusing on my daughter and working and business. And so when I realized last weekend, and my birthday was a couple of days away, I was like, oh, wow, almost forgot. How do you forget? I don't know.
Well, inshallah, you have a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful birthday or anniversary of life or a celebration or however that you want to do it. So what a great birthday present. You know, you got some business launch and you're moving right ahead. And like you said, you feel like you're really consolidating what you want to do. You started before and now here we are. Did you learn a lot from the last launch, or have you gathered stuff in between, or did you just go harder this time? What made you more prepared to strike out at it again?
I did. I went harder this time, and I must say that I do have a mentor who has actually been helping me. The process can be intimidating on the technical aspect, you know, and I do have a mentor who has been underground just giving me the tips, the things that I need, helping me, you know, motivating me, you know, and I hope he's tuning in and listening because, you know, the motivation was very important, you know, because I've expressed that, you know, in time, I don't always want to work for somebody else. You know, I'd like to work for myself. And he was just kind of underground pushing me, saying, you know, well, hey, did you start a business yet? What's the plan? You know, did you make sure you do this? Did you make sure you do that? So I'm definitely very grateful for walking me through the steps, not getting frustrated with me and my naivety to a lot of the stuff, some of these terminologies. And I'm like, I just know how to make stuff. I don't know about the business part, you know. But all of that matters. So, you know, definitely having that motivation, that driving force is very important. You know, so when people tell me, like, you know, oh, you're inspiring me to want to start my business, I'm like, yes, go for it, you know, because you need that encouragement, that motivation. A lot of the time, you know, when I've tried it in the past, I didn't really know what I was doing. It's easy to say you just want to start a business, but without actually knowing really how to get started, it's so easy to get frustrated and to get overwhelmed.
Another guest that I had on not too long ago, her name was Hannah Hassan, and she's also a writer and director, and she has a theatrical presentation called Shahada Stories that she puts together, and it's where they gather different stories from people who have come to Islam, and they have different performers to act them out or speak or kind of performance art on how they came to Islam and different things that they feel about it. One thing that she mentioned, it was something she wanted to do for a long time, and she had family members who kind of pushed her. They kind of were like, hey, so when is this going to come together? And she said how important it is to have a base or support or people that help encourage your dream. They believe in you, and they help encourage your dream.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And also, it sounds like you had a mentor. So I think that word should stick out for all the people out there who think they know everything.
Right.
What you find out is you don't know everything, and it's nothing. So the dumb questions are the ones you don't ask. And some of the best advice I've heard is get with people who are where you're trying to go or who've been where you're trying to go. They've got some of the best wisdom, mistakes to avoid, resources, companies to point you to, because you just don't know.
You just don't know. And that's the problem, you know, because a lot of times people think they know,
mm-hmm.
and you really end up just messing yourself all up because you have no idea. So pretty much, you know, I've just been following his lead. As he tells me, you know, well, make sure you go on this site and do this. Like, okay, it's going to get done, you know. I have a homework assignment tonight, actually, that I have to do. So, you know, I'm taking it seriously. And I think when the person sees you taking it seriously, it makes them want to keep helping you, you know.
Agreed. Now, I heard you slip something in, and it seems like, you know, you just do a little bit of everything. I also heard the word makeup artistry.
Yes, ma'am.
Now, tell me about, because you got your modeling, you got the jewelry. I mean, it's all coming together, and you got the artistry, too. How in the world did you get into that? Did you go to school for it? How did you get into that? What are some of the types of gigs that you get in? Where would you like for that portion of your business to go?
Well, the makeup artistry started off, I didn't have confidence regarding makeup artistry until two of my previous neighbors used to always ask me to do their makeup before they went out. You know, it'd be like a Friday night, a Saturday night. Like, you know, they'd come upstairs. They lived downstairs. I lived upstairs. They'd come upstairs like, hey, girl, can you do my makeup? I'm like, okay, sure. And they would keep telling me, you know, well, you should do makeup. And then I've had a couple of other friends who would tell me, I always liked MAC and, you know, Sephora and those kind of products. And I'm actually, you know, it's a little secret, but, you know, I'm actually in the works. I would like to create my own makeup collection.
You heard it here first. You are a dynamo.
You know, I just feel like possibilities are endless. You know, why stop? If other people can do it, I know I can do it. You know, why stop? So, you know, but so back to the makeup, it always was fun to me. It's more so like art. You know, I was never an artist as far as drawing on a piece of paper or painting on a canvas. That wasn't my form of art. You know, I like to do art, you know, creating stuff and makeup. And so my friends would ask me to do their makeup for them and stuff. And then I had a few people, Najma also, she was another motivating force. You know, she was one of the main ones behind me telling me, you know, how I should pursue makeup artistry. You know, it was good, I should go for it. But at one point when I tried to break through, I felt a little intimidated because I felt like there were so many other people doing the same thing. You know, where would I fall within that range? But when you realize that, you know, you're your own person, what this person is doing over there shouldn't affect what you have going on over here.
I know, and that's right.
That kind of confidence you have to build, you know. So ideally, you know, when I do go full force into makeup, I'd like to do makeup for TV shows. You know, I haven't had any gigs yet doing, you know, makeup for TV. But right now, you know, I like to do makeup for photographers, for photo shoots and things of that. I did a wedding in April. That was nice. Bridal makeup is really fun to do, you know. I like to do, I just, you know, whatever it is that they want me to do, I like to do it. So you want me to do something simple, you know, you want me to do something elaborate, you know, talk to me. Tell me what it is that you're going for, and let's see how we can create it together.
Okay. And, you definitely have enough irons in the fire. So one of these routes that you're paving, inshallah, is gonna take you exactly where you're trying to go. They're all kind of linked up in one way or another. One good thing about it is you can do your own marketing because you know so much about the fashion industry, about modeling, about presentation, about marketing, about what people are looking for.
Let me tell you, my website is in the making, and I can't wait because I'm going to do my own makeup, rock my own jewelry.
There we go. That's what I'm talking about.
It's a little self-fulfillment for me, you know. It's going to be a lot of fun. I can't wait for that. You know, so I'm just right now, because as I mentioned earlier, I was doing a lot of custom orders. So, you know, I get a little downtime. I'm going to just mass produce a bunch of pieces that I can pretty much photograph in. And I just want to come out and just, you know, slay.
Okay, slay all day. Pray and slay all day. You know, I will just speak for everyone who's listening, everyone who shared a post, everyone who's liked the picture. We are just as excited for you. We are just as excited to watch someone that we've chatted with on Facebook or waved to the train station to actualize their dream. That is a beautiful thing, watching someone, like you said, who has the courage to step forward and say, here is my interpretation of how things should be. I especially appreciate it because I love artistry. I think it tells a story. I think it captures a moment, and it's subject to so many people's different interpretations, which can be a good thing, especially if you're putting so much of your heart into what you're doing. And speaking of putting your heart into what you're doing, I see you on social media participating in different charity events. Do you have a specific organization that's close to your heart that you'd like to tell people about?
I don't have one particular organization. Just telling all my secrets. I am in the process of starting my own nonprofit organization.
What?
But, you know, that's also in the works. I have a lot of goals, inshallah. I just pray Allah, you know, makes it fruitful for me because, you know, I really want to, you know, want to give back. And, you know, there are a couple organizations that I do work with. I was doing work for Muslim Women Homeless Shelter. They're located not too far from where I am, their local women's homeless shelter. And recently my daughter and I, more so my daughter, I can't really take the credit, but my daughter, she is very giving, and she wanted to give back. So she decided to create toiletry bags to give to the sisters in the shelter. So we took them over there, and, you know, they were really, really grateful to receive that. And inside each bag was washcloth, soap, first aid kits, Band-Aids, sanitary napkins, lotion, combs, everything. It was just, you know, a big old goodie bag. And, you know, so alhamdulillah, my daughter, she really was touched. You know, she was like, I want to help somebody. So we came up with that idea. I helped her. I felt compelled. I said, you know, this is what you want to do. This is my duty to make sure that it gets done.
Yeah.
So I felt compelled. I was like, you know, this is what you want to do, then we're going to get it done. And I took her to the drugstore so that we get the things that we need. And we sat there. We sat on my floor and we stuffed those bags and, you know, we deliver them down to the shelter. So, you know, I also do some work with Help for Humanity organization.
Okay.
And that's a food initiative program. Pretty much right now they're running a initiative where $25 could feed a family of four in Senegal. You know, so pretty much we donate and help feed the family in Senegal. They do the midnight run, where they go around Times Square, Manhattan, and they give out food to the homeless. You know, ICNA Relief is a popular organization, very familiar with them. I've been working with ICNA Relief for years. A lot of the stuff that I do not for profit is kind of under the radar because I don't do it for show. I don't do it for likes. I don't do it for, you know, Instagram fame or Facebook fame. You know, I do it because it's really true, dear to my heart. You know, and since I was, I want to say, 14, 15, I've been involved in doing homeless advocacy work, you know, working with the less fortunate. So this is what also inspired me to want to somehow build upon that and do something, you know, run my own not-for-profit and get funding and food pantries and all of that. So Islamic Relief is another organization that this, I'm familiar with, and they're familiar with me. So...
Okay, and I want to say, too, I think it's commendable, and I'm glad that you did mention all of the different organizations. There may be some people looking to fulfill that portion of their life as well by helping others. That is a beautiful thing, but also giving back keeps it real because it allows you not to take for granted what you have, you know, and it's a blessing for them, and it's also a blessing for yourself because you could be in that particular situation, and it forces you to look back and just be grateful to Allah that you are not having to deal with that trial. So there are all kinds of benefits, and I'm giving you like a virtual high five for introducing your daughter to it. There are some people who
thank
don't.
You.
Yes, ma'am. There are some people who do not realize how important it is to help someone until they're in a helpless situation themselves. They never thought about it.
Mm-hmm.
So
you know,
the fact
we'll be walking.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, we'll be walking sometimes, you know, and she'll see somebody who may be hungry or, you know, it would touch me. I never forget the time when we were standing at the bus stop and this lady, she came over to us. She was pushing a stroller and she had a daughter maybe around four. My daughter was maybe four at the time. And she came over to me. She was like, you know, oh, do you have money, you know, so that I can get some food? And I had no cash on me. I felt so bad. I didn't have any money on me. I had bought the food that we had in our hand with my card. So my daughter said, Mommy, she can have my food. It's okay. She gave the little girl her food. And it was just so touching because it's just like, you know, no one is telling her to do this. You know, this is her own heart being moved in this direction. You have a lot of cold-hearted, evil-spirited people out here. So for someone that young to be able to embody the importance, you know, of giving back, it was really humbling.
Wow.
You know, and she's with me, like, you know, if I go... Last year, we did the Day of Dignity, and she was with me. You know, she watched me participate in that. So I pretty much, I make it my business that she comes along so she can see what's going on. And so that, you know, she's aware of how important it is to just be active in your community. You know, not just walk around showboating.
Yeah.
What are you doing to give back? You know,
and
even...
That balance.
Even with my company, you know, I'm actually, you know, working out some details now as to, you know, how I can move my company into shelter system, you know, do something for the residents of the shelter and other non-for-profit organization things. I'm also supposed to be collaborating with another non-for-profit coming up in the future. So, you know, it's more than just what meets the eye. It's more than just, you know, oh, well, wear this pretty bracelet. Yay, you know. I want to make sure that, you know, my brand is associated with giving back. It's associated because I feel blessed that I'm receiving blessings, you know. So I want to make sure that I'm giving them back. You know,
and
a lot of people.
I was going to say, too, just really quickly, I think that's very important because when I first converted to Islam, there was one company that I was ordering all my hijabs from. One group of sister in Bilal Designs who was making everything herself, and a larger company was called Hijab Girl. And they actually had a specific part on their site where they were telling you what they were donating and they were doing other things. So not only were you buying something from them, but it felt good to know that even if it was in a small facet, you were actually helping someone else. And that encouraged me to continue purchasing from them for several years because, like you said, it wasn't just the commerce is also the compassion.
Right. And that's what I'd like to, that's what I want to, you know, transcend as well. You know, it's more than the same thing with the photo shoots and things of that nature. You know, it's more than just, ooh, look at me take my picture kind of thing. It's a message behind it. You know, sometimes people who don't understand or choose to have a blind eye when it comes to certain things, they've made certain comments about my photo shoot pictures. Oh, she loves taking pictures. Oh, she's... But, you know, nobody knows what I've been through, you know. Nobody knows that there was a point where I had doubts about myself as an individual due to things that I was going through, you know. So for me to be able to stand in front of 2,000 people, whomever, however many people I have on my Facebook page, plus the people who's not even on my page, who just happen to see the pictures in Google searches or however else you come across pictures, to be able to stand in front of all these people and make a statement, that's powerful to me. You know, so forget about your personal feelings. You're just looking at it superficially. Oh, she just likes to take a picture. No, I'm making a statement. And at the end of the day, this statement just may represent you as well.
Wow. And like I said, every interview I do, I take away more than I bring because that was very important so that when people are seeing all your pictures, it's not just a situation of vanity. There's
exactly.
So much more behind it, and I wanted to have you for that. Some of the other people that I've had on my show are people that are highly recognizable or they're seen every day in the community, or they're seen in magazines, they're seen in newspapers, people read about them, and you get a false impression of everything being perfect or what their intentions are. People forget that they are real people, and some of the moves that you make have actually been influenced by good and bad things. You're just as relatable as anybody else, and it feels good to know that there is a purpose behind what you are doing.
Right, and I just want to make sure, you know, that that's how I like people to perceive me. You know, I don't want to be put
right.
on some sort of pedestal like I'm some, you know, celebrity or anything like that. And I say that because, you know, sometimes people have said things to me like that. So you wanna talk to me? And I'm just like, girl, stop.
Yeah.
Let's go get this food and stop playing. You know,
yeah.
So, you know, but I just want to portray that message to people. And it's deeper than what meets the eye. From the outside looking in, you can see one thing. But when you really sit down and have a conversation with me or people in general, you know, a lot of times you walk away and be like, wow, I never do.
Exactly. And that is the entire purpose of this show. We want to highlight people in the arts and people making contribution to their culture. But we also want to open them up a little bit, open up the cabinet of who they are, of the facade that people may see on the outside, and let them know that they're relatable qualities and they're human. And they do have some good that reside that they would like to shine. They would like that brilliance to shine onto the world. I want to thank you so much for being on the Radiant Brilliance Show, Ms. Salika Martin. And
thank you so much for having me.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. If you could, let us know where we can get any type of booking information for you in case somebody wants to hire you for a shoot, where we can go to look at your beautiful jewelry from the Makita Collection and how we can purchase it, and any other items or forms of contact that we have for people to reach out to you, maybe get some networking on the boards here.
Sure. Well, I am on Facebook, Zalika Martin, Z-A-L-I-K-A, Martin, last name. You can find my collection on Instagram, _TheMakitaCollection_. And you can also email me, MakitaArtistry@gmail.com. So my website is currently in the process of launching shortly, and once that's launched, that will be www.makitaartistry.com.
Excellent. And as I tell all my guests, whenever you get everything up and running, please provide me with the links or tag me so I can be sure to share.
I sure will.
Share with the world, because that's what it's all about, you know, helping each other shine the radiance of the goodness that you have and the brilliance of your talent, the whole purpose behind the name of this show. I'd like to thank everyone for tuning in this evening to another episode of the Radiant Brilliance Show. If you or someone you know would like to be a guest, please email me at guestinfotrbs@gmail.com, guestinfotrbs@gmail.com. If you have an idea for a show or if you'd like to offer feedback, email theradiantbrilliantshow@gmail.com, theradiantbrilliantshow@gmail.com. We're also located on Google Plus under the Radiant Brilliance Show. And we have a Facebook page and, of course, right here on Blog Talk Radio. And on Blog Talk Radio, we also have a listing of shows that are archived for your playback. Thank you again for tuning in, everyone, and we will see you or hear you again on next Thursday.